Hey there. Thank you so much for listening to our Big Time Talker podcast. I'm Burke Allen. We're in our studios here in Washington, D.C. And if you like what you hear, we have fresh episodes available for download every Tuesday at all the platforms, including Spotify and iHeart and Apple iTunes, wherever you get your podcast. So please subscribe and join us every Tuesday as we talk to authors and subject matter experts, Grammy Award-winning musicians, actors, just lots of interesting folks. And thanks again to SpeakerMatch.com for being the show sponsor today. Award-winning author K.C. Roy is our guest on the program today. Writer of many books, I want to talk to him specifically about a book called Sarah's Fear. It is a reader's favorite award winner, and he and I got a chance to tag up very briefly down in Miami, Florida, when he picked up his Reader's Favorite Award and marched across the stage. So now we can officially call you award-winning author K.C. Roy. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks for being here. So, tell me about...
Oh, thanks for having me.
Tell me about where you got your love of reading, because all great writers begin as avid readers.
Yeah. As a kid, I was mostly comic books. And when I reached high school, I made a visit to the library. It was rare for me. And I found David Eddings was the first really big set of books that I read. And I fell in love with it from there. I just kept reading after that. Danny G. Robert Jordan, all the big ones, and some of the little ones too.
Do you remember as a kid some of the comics that you were into?
Oh, everything. I mean, Conan was big, obviously, Spider-Man was huge for me. All the main ones and some of the more obscure ones too, the Conan volumes and some of the, I can't even remember the names of them, some of the comics that were big in the 50s and stuff. So.
And so now, in 2024, as we do this conversation, comic books have become multi-billion dollar businesses with all the comic book movies. Now in recent months, they've taken it a little bit on the chin, but before that, you open a comic book movie and it's going to gross hundreds of millions of dollars. Are you a fan of these movie adaptations of comics and graphic novels?
I do like them, especially some of the first ones. The newer Deadpools are nice because they break the mold that they set. Lately, they've gotten a bit they're more set in the mold. They're more of the same. So they're not trying to break the formula and do something new. But the originals, the Iron Man and the Spider-Mans that they've had have all been good. And the original Batmans that got released with Michael Keaton and stuff, really love those. So,
all right, who's your favorite Batman, your favorite on-screen Batman?
It's got to be Keaton. Yeah, I like the original. that one's got a place. Jack Nicholson did a fantastic Joker. So
I agree. All right, very good. K.C. Roy is our guest today. And his series of books with a central character, Sarah, we're going to get into Sarah's Fear, a reader's favorite award winner. I found it fascinating when I was checking you out before the conversation that you have lived several lives. Lots of times, people, they kind of find what they're going to do early in life and then they do it. And that's what they are doing the day that they collect the gold watch at the end of their life. You have had some pretty major life changes. You started off in college planning to be a writer, but then you went into something completely different. So tell me what took you away from your college writing aspirations. And I think our listeners will be amazed to find out where you wound up and what you wound up doing.
Yeah. So as a young child, we weren't rich growing up. I had we did an after school program when I lived in Florida, and I chose karate. I had no idea what it was. I was probably five. It was an after school program. It's kept me out of trouble, so I did it, and I fell in love with that. And I watched everything I could. Sunday mornings was the Kung Fu Central. I can't even remember what they called it, but you know what I'm talking about, right? All the cheesy.
Oh, yeah.
Chinese kung fu, toad style, crane style. My kung fu is better than yours stuff, and it just stuck with me for a long time. We didn't have the means to study the class, but out of high school, or rather, when I was in high school, I started full time taking martial arts. And while I did love writing, martial arts became just this passion And I got offered an opportunity to start teaching, and I just fell in love with it. I loved it, and writing just kind of took a back seat after that. So I ended up teaching martial arts. I had my own school for a while, and that was really my world. I was just happy doing that.
What is it about martial arts that spoke to you? What got you really into it?
I can't really say. I'm a physical. I like to work physically. That's
Right.
part of the reason I'm doing the job I'm doing now, which is in construction. I get to work and move physically. It's hard for me to sit still at a desk for a long period of time. I honestly couldn't say. It's just as a 5-year-old kid, it clicked for me. I was good at it. I understood it. I could pick it up easy. I mean, I don't know how else to put it than that. It was just my, I still love it today, but I fell out of love with the industry, if you can understand what I'm saying there.
Yeah, so let's talk about that for just a second. I talk to a lot of very successful people who are really good at a certain discipline, whatever that discipline is. I grew up in broadcasting, and I was an on-air radio person for many years. And when you get good at that, they go, "Oh, you're really good. We should make you the music director, and then the program director, and then the operations manager." And before you know it, you're far into your career, and you've been taken away from the thing that you fell in love with it in the first place. That's why I do this podcast now. It takes me back to my roots. So when you talk about falling out of love with the industry, it wasn't really the martial arts, it was everything else that went with it, huh?
Yes. As you know, when you're doing my main school was Taekwondo. All day I learned, I'd practice many different styles. The industry started moving more towards a softer, if I can say it that way, more sport-oriented version of what it was. The whole when you we, it be, it's a business. You have to keep retention and numbers, and I understand that side of it. And you can't do that on something that is physically really difficult and demanding, and there's a chance you could fail after 2.5 years and so many hundreds of dollars. The method of teaching became softer than what I learned growing up, and I feel that that fell away from what I really wanted, was to learn self-defense and fighting. It's the sport side of it doesn't translate into self-defense on the streets. It's entirely different. And while I understood the business side of it, I really didn't like that side, so I decided to just step away from it.
As
So,
a kid in the 70s, that was super popular, the TV show Kung Fu, Bruce Lee movies, and all that. What do you think people get wrong about martial arts? What's the
there's a
misconception
lot.
out there? There's a lot.
Well, a lot of the, yeah, there's a lot. One of the big ones is, a lot, people who aren't in the industry, size doesn't matter. You can teach a simple little move with the hands, and that'll be, you can go with that. And size does matter. There's a reason they break boxing into 10-pound categories, because that much extra weight makes a huge difference when you talk about somebody hitting you. The tricks where you grab the wrist and spin it and do it, none of that stuff works when you're in a conflict situation. Stress is up, your adrenaline's up, you're not thinking. Those holds have to be practiced hundreds and hundreds of hours to get them right, and even then you may not get it right. So there's a lot of mythos from TV and movies about the stuff that you see, and a lot of that stuff just doesn't work. The best way is just to punch them in the mouth. It's a horrible thing to say, but yeah, it's there's a lot of misconception about it, especially because movie industry and all that stuff's cool, but it doesn't apply to actual real self-defense. So.
Casey Roy is our guest today. He's an award-winning author. The book is Sarah's Fear, and you can find him online at caseyroylibrary.com. caseyroylibrary.com. So you had a pivot. I mean, you're going to college to be a writer, fell in love with martial arts, even owned your own studio. But then you transitioned out of that into something completely different. And I guess maybe not completely different, but you said, "I don't sit still well. I like to work with my hands." So now it's you do construction work, electrician work, big commercial projects. Tell me about that part and the satisfaction you get from doing that, because that's completely different than the writing you're also doing now.
So, when I got out of that, I had, my wife and I had just been married. We had a kid on the way. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was kind of lost, because I didn't have anything planned, which is, what you teach our kids, plan for something else. And I didn't do that. I never expected to be out of it. I had a friend who worked in construction. He got me the job. It was making a lot more money than I had been making, even though it wasn't that much. But I figured, well, I'll give it a try. I really didn't know much, but I just look at it and say, oh, that's what I want to do. I didn't, when I went and applied, I didn't know what I was getting into. It was really different. After the first few weeks of work, and I was like, oh, this is fantastic. I like this. I get to work, I get to move around. I'm learning new things. And with electrical work, you're learning constantly. There's, I've been doing it for almost 25 years. I still don't know everything there is to know. Because there's just so many different fields of it you can get into.
Casey Roy is our guest today. He is the author of the Reader's Favorite Award winner, Sarah's Fear, and it looks like this is going to become a very successful series for you. But let's start at the beginning. Let's talk books and let's talk
Yes.
about Sarah's Fear, the first book in this Elemental series. First of all, you've got a very strong female central character, and I want to ask you first. To sort of give our listeners an elevator pitch, a thumbnail sketch about what the book is about, but also I'm interested in the fact that you do have a female central character and how you get inside this young lady's head. So first, you meet somebody at a party and they say, "So what's your book about?" You say, "What?"
Oh, I kind of stumble over it. It's a hard one for me to get through.
I hear you.
I have a hard time summarizing things like that. I typically kind of glass over it. Really, I probably shouldn't. I should go more in depth. I glass over it. I don't know if I'm self-conscious about it and have that imposter syndrome or whatever. I typically tell them it's a fantasy book. A young girl finds out her life is not what she thought it was after somebody tries to kill her. And she finds out that her family and her friends have been hiding this huge secret from her about her ancestry. And she's part of a group of people called elementals that have the power to control the life force of everything around them. And somebody wants to kill her because of it, and they don't know who. So that's what the book is, them on the progress of trying to figure out who that is and protect Sarah and teach her how to use her powers before they kill her.
So you're a real world builder in this book, and you build this world around Sarah. But tell me why Sarah? Because in the world of sort of table chair thinking, where I say table and you say chair, and I say black and you say white, a guy like you who has a background in martial arts, you would think instinctively would write your first book about a young guy who's a martial artist, and Sarah is not that. So.
No,
Tell me
she's
about
not.
that.
There is plenty of action on martial arts in the book, and
And the book
well
is a
detailed.
thriller. I should say it's a
It
page
is.
turner, and people will burn through it and love it. But it is a female protagonist. So tell me about that choice.
So the original, when I first started this book back in 2011, I was working overseas, and where I was at, I couldn't leave. When I was done working, I was stuck where I was at. So I had a lot of time, so I decided to write a book for my daughter, who at the time was like 11 or 12. So I needed a female protagonist, and that's how it started. I got about 7 chapters in. Well, the job ended and I ended up coming to the US. And I started back at regular work. That took up a lot of my headspace, and the book languished till 22. So it was originally a book for my daughter, at the time was 11 or 12. And that's the reason I guess I started with the female protagonist.
And now that you're 3 books into the series, is it tougher to put yourself in the mindset of this young woman, or is it easier? How do you do that?
No, I writing the characters seem to me it feels easy. I remember what it was like to be that age, the discomfort of certain situations and stuff. And I put a little bit of myself into the writing. The parts of the story that I write go through my head like a little movie, and I try and write that down, what I'm seeing in my head, and really think about how a young person at this age would react. I remember what it was, so that's what I try and put on the page.
Our guest is Casey Roy. His website is kcroylibrary.com. And Sarah's Fear is the award-winning first book in his Elemental series. You're 3 books in, and is this a trilogy? Do you know how many of these books featuring Sarah you're going to do? Is there a game plan, or how does it work? What's your
There
process?
is. So yeah, my process for writing is I didn't have an outline for the story that so I'll finish that first. It might help. I picked the book back up again in 22. My mom was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. I kind of let it languish. We were having a pretty frank discussion towards the end there, and she had mentioned that she was a little she was disappointed that I never did anything with my writing. It wasn't disappointment in me. It was just disappointment that I didn't follow that particular talent that I had, the
Right.
ability to make a good story. And it kind of hit me kind of hard. So I took the book and I finished it and basically restarted, rewrote it, and I finished it in about 5 weeks. And had a very rough edit, very rough cover, and I threw it together and put it up on Amazon to show her, hey, this is it. This is I'm gonna go ahead and do this for you. And she got to see it before she passed. So that meant a lot. So the story and the writing it was a very, very quick process, a lot quicker than the follow-up books. I didn't put much thought into anything. It just kind of ended up what I had. I sense this is like the fifth edition that's online right now. I've gone through and reworked and changed some stuff and fixed it. The story itself, the whole trilogy, it will be a trilogy. There will be a definitive end to it. I have some short stories on my website that pertain to this particular world. They don't take place in the books. They're either before or after. So there is more content I'll write for it. But after the third book, I have another series that I'm already very much in my headspace for and really want to get to. So I'm trying to be patient, finish the third book properly.
What is your process for writing? Do you sit down at the computer and, I'm going to write for an hour or two every day. I'm not going to get up until that hour is up. Or do you have a word limit? Do you have to wait for the inspiration to strike? How does it work?
It's more of an inspiration thing. I don't have a word limit or a time limit. Sometimes I'm in that headspace. I can sit down and it just the time just disappears. The words flow onto the page and that's it. Other times I have, either distractions or the interest is just not there. I have a hard time concentrating on it. So I may go over and work on something else, may work on the cover or may work on a short story or I'll do something involving it, but just not necessarily that. It's just kind of a wing it kind of thing.
Who's your target reader? Who do you see on the other
Oh
end
man,
coming through this thing?
that's a hard one because I started doing a lot of research after I published the book. It's not the way you're supposed to do it. And I've learned all these things. I'm like, man, I didn't do any of that stuff. Research the title. There's another book with the same title of all things. I don't really have a target audience. I read a broad range of things. So, I mean, if it's fiction, I'll read Tom Clancy, Robert Jordan, Wheel of Time. I'll read Myth Imperfections, things like that. Space, sci-fi, lit RPG is one of the new ones that's been around for a while that's different. I'll read a broad range of things. I have no particular target when I pick up, when I go through and look for books. And I guess I just think of everybody like that. I throw it out there for just whoever wants to read it.
What about first readers? When you finish this thing, nobody wants to be told their baby is ugly, right? So
No.
who do you hand it off to first, and how do you get real feedback that is kind of unfiltered? Because you have to get that, or else everybody patting you on the back and saying, "Oh, this is fantastic." That doesn't make you a great writer, you know?
No, it does not. That was a huge learning lesson for me. I found out during that process of getting reviews that writers are very touchy people.
And you would be one of them, huh?
I would be working in construction for 25 years really, really toughened my skin. I don't mind criticism. It doesn't bother me in the slightest. I actually would ask reviewers, hey, anything you got wrong, anything at all, tell me. And I, invariably would get the perfect review back, which is what I look for. So I started looking for critique partners. I found out, people try and get critique partners. And it took me a lot of failures before I finally found one that was willing to just throw it out there, however, and tell me what I wanted to hear. So I keep in touch with them. I send them updates and stuff, and they give me great information back. And that's really the only way I do it is trial and error, just going to multiple people and trying to say, hey, you want to critique stuff. But most of the time, when I give them back my own critique, they get they're offended. So there's
They
another
don't
one.
like that.
No, they don't want to be told. And I'm real nice. I'm real constructive about the criticisms that I get. Maybe you have too many words here, change your description here, or you missed a few words here in the description, whatever it is. But at that point, when you reach that point, it's finished project, like I said, they don't want to be told negative stuff. It's something probably need to break.
Serious Fear is the first book in the trilogy from K.C. Roy. It's out now, and it's a Reader's Favorite Award winner. The second book, Sarah's Anger, is there, and do we have a release date yet for Sierra's Resolve, the final book in the series?
Well, I did, but it has changed. We had the holidays turned into a we ended up with COVID for 2 weeks over the holidays, and it just threw everything out of whack. Our whole schedule got messed up, and I fell off. I have just recently started back. I'm redoing some of the third book. Like I said, I was in a real big hurry. I wanted to hurry up, get to, and I stopped myself because I realized I was rushing it, and that was not really a good way to finish the story. So I stepped back, and I'm fixing, working my way back through. I've got about a third of it written, hopefully in the next few months.
All right, so sometime in 2024, we can wrap this story up of Sarah and see what happens in Sarah's Resolve. Before I let you jump, talk to me about the Imperial Warden books.
So the Imperial Wardens is a story that I've had in my head since high school. The character itself, Gaitel, it also oddly enough another female character. That series is going to revolve. I've always liked the sword and sorcery. You know, the Conan especially really resonated with me when I was younger. I really liked him, but I'm not going to concentrate on the character's mission is not to stop some great evil or defeat, you know, the unsaid opponent. This is an individual who's been indoctrinated in a military society, and there's a life shift, and they have to adjust to a world outside of what they grew up in. So the story is more about them adjusting to real world, learning to relate to real people and circumstances, and adjusting their ability to trust and live outside of that real strict structure. It's a lot to say in one little. So
That's all
I have a
right.
lot of heart in it. Yeah, it means a lot to me. So I've got short stories for it up on my website already. The names, the titles, I've got a general outline for the first book. I just need to finish something else first. So
Did the guys on the construction site ever give you a hard time about being a writer?
I don't really tell a whole bunch of people. It's not something. I mean, there's people that know, and there's some people read. I just don't go advertise it, you know. Not for any particular reason, other than, you know, I just don't,
Fair enough. We'll help spread the word. And there may be some guy in your construction crew who's listening to this podcast right now. And boy, is he going to give you a hard time tomorrow.
Well, I'm used to it. I'll take it.
KC Roy is the award-winning author of Sarah's Fear, available at kcroylibrary.com, amazon.com. You can ask for it by name at bookstores as well. Hey, best of luck on the new book. We'll look for Sarah's Resolve later this year.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's KC Roy on the Big Time Talker podcast. I'm Burke Allen at our studio here in Washington, D.C. New episodes every Tuesday. Thank you so much for listening. Now go out and make it a great day. Bye, everybody.